We do have a guest speaker here this morning. It's good to have Dr. Barry here. When I first encountered the ministry, I mean, I knew Compassion Canada existed prior to this, but I had John Vort come and visit me when we were up in Linden and had a good sit-down chat about the Ministry of Compassion. And, you know, uncompromisingly, followers of Jesus and promoters of the gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, doing social work and caring for children, though I hope we hear much more. Compassion is much more than just child sponsorship. Hope we hear some more of that this morning. But just their integrity with how they handle finances and we've done some more looking into it. We've partnered with Compassion. I've adopted some of those children. And yeah, I really, really appreciate that ministry. And there's others that do child sponsorship ministries, but I can say unequivocally, Compassion is a great way to go. They don't have zero admin fees, but they wouldn't be wise for an organization to function like that, but they keep that to a minimum and get as much on the ground as possible, always seeking to work through the local church. That's key. Just so many of the things really align with my philosophy of ministry, and it's about the kingdom and Jesus promoted and helping people and not getting the name and the proud whatever for it. But come on up and speak to us this morning. Barry, we want to hear from God through you. So I realize it's Jesus speaking to all of us. And I want to pray for you as you minister the word to us. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for different organizations we can partner with and have a greater impact, a more strategic impact for you on this planet, God. And we do want to care for the least of these, God.
Yes.
That's your mandate. You hung around with the least of these. When you give the least of these a cup of water, we are serving you water. And I pray you would help us hear through Barry's voice your word to us, and we would respond with courageous obedience following you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome
Thank
here.
You. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, it is indeed a blessing and a pleasure to be with you this morning. It's always good to be with God's people. Amen? Or yes, or ha-ha. And it's especially good for me. I wasn't sure if anybody would show up this morning, so I brought my wife with me. You know, sometimes when they see a name like Sloan White, it's so long that they just go, oh, well, I think I'll just sleep in. Because if his name is long, he's probably going to speak long, right? I hope that isn't the case. But Sharon has been with me now for 45 years. And we're just getting to know each other a little bit. Yeah, 45 years. She said I was the best thing that ever happened to her. Oh, no, I said that, didn't I? Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, thank you, Pastor Gary, for opening your church, your pulpit, to Compassion's ministry today. It is always an honor. I speak in churches around the world, and every time I stand up in front of a group of people, I am humbled to believe that God gives me this privilege and this opportunity to be a voice for Him to people, to His people around the world. And so I don't take that privilege and opportunity lightly. I want to tell you a story as I begin this morning. And some of you have traveled around the world. You've been to the developing world, or what some people call the third world. And you may have encountered similar stories to the story of Maria. Maria is a very typical young lady who lives in the country of Guatemala. Maria was born, though, in a not-so-typical environment. She was born and raised on the municipal dump outside the city of Guatemala City. If you can imagine a dump almost as large as this town. Huge, massive, massive pile of rubble, serving millions of people as the garbage is deposited there every day. That was her home. That was the only home she knew. She lived there with her mom. Their house was built out of recycled cardboard and tin and plastic, whatever they could find around them. And their livelihood, their life consisted of day after day rummaging through the garbage to try and find things either to eat or to sell to the recyclers. And if you've ever been near or on a city dump, I have had the privilege is not so much a privilege. It's a scary, scary opportunity. But I have been on many large municipal dumps around the world because we work with children there often. If you've ever been on a dump, it's like a massive city with no buildings, just trash. And then every day the trucks come in and they dump the fresh garbage. And as soon as a new truck arrives, everybody stops and runs to the truck to be the first to rifle through whatever's coming off. Because everything else has been picked through for days and weeks. But here's a new opportunity to find stuff to eat, to wear, or to sell to the recycle companies. That was Maria's life. I'm thankful to tell you that that is not her life now. And I am going to give you some insight into God's word as to how and why her life changed so dramatically. So travel with me this morning as we look at poverty from a little different perspective. If you're like most people, especially most Canadians, your understanding of poverty is the 2-minute info commercials on TV or the insistent and constant mail that comes in your mailbox and now the emails. That seems to be the way we learn about poverty. Some of you have had the chance to travel and you've seen it firsthand. Some of you have been on mission trips and you've experienced that. But that's a rare group of people. Most Canadians only know what they're told, what they've seen in the marketing messages that come to them. For thousands of years, the Church of Jesus Christ has wrestled with how to tackle poverty. You see, it's in our DNA to help, isn't it? If you're a Christ follower, it's in your DNA to help the poor. We don't just do it because Pastor Gary tells us, or our denomination prints brochures about it, or some mission group. We do it because it's part of us. When you're a Christ follower, you can't not help the poor. But yet, in the midst of that DNA, we struggle as Christians to know how to do it well and how to do it effectively. Even today, many ministries and churches and parachurches organized around the world deal with helping the poor in many and varying ways. There's no real consistent way. Everybody says, ha, that's the way to do it. Let's all get on board that. I want to share with you a scripture that is very seldom, in fact, I would say almost never, associated with poverty. And it's a scripture you know only too well. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I'll bet you once I start telling you the scripture, you're gonna mouth it with me. It goes like this: but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness, and all of these things will be given or added unto you. These things are referring to the necessities of life, the blessings of life. And when we think about poverty, poverty robs us of the blessings of life. And we seldom as Christians look back into Scripture and equate the seeking after God with the meeting of our needs. I want to share with you three things that you need to know about poverty today. I'm not going to give you a long, drawn-out exegesis of Scripture or an old boring sermon. Just want to give you 3 points, because if you're like me, your memory's short these days. 3 points that we as Christ followers need to know and understand about poverty. Here's the first one. The gospel and poverty are intrinsically linked. The gospel over here, poverty over here, are intrinsically linked. You cannot, you must not separate them in order to be effective. Why does compassion have to always talk about Jesus? Why can't you just help the poor? That question gets asked to me more than you would ever think, even sometimes by Christians. Why do you have to spend so much of your time and your energy as an organization preaching the gospel? Why don't you just get out there and feed people? It's a daunting question. For compassion, this is a really relevant topic, and your pastor alluded to that in his introduction. You see, we at Compassion, we accept people, mainly children, from all walks of life, from all faith groups. You may not realize this, but in our program, we mandate by policy that 80% of all children registered in our sponsorship program must come from unchristian homes. So we have thousands of Muslims, of Buddhists, of Hindu, of atheists, and all manner of indigenous faith groups bringing their children to a compassion program. But here's the thing. That compassion program is always housed in a local evangelical church. And I can tell you that last year alone, over 150,000 of those children accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's not a bait and switch approach. It's called evangelism. Compassion is not about sponsorship. We do that just as a means to fund the ministry. Compassion is about child evangelism and child discipleship. We do not proselytize. We do not feed children just to get them to become Christians. You know that wouldn't be of any value to the kingdom. But we are uncompromising about our evangelistic focus. Perhaps for some people, and I run into people more often than you might think, perhaps for some people it seems strange to connect the gospel with poverty. You see, if poverty were simply a lack of food, education, medicine, and so on, then it would make sense for all of our efforts to focus on providing these necessities of life. But as we read in Scripture, we see that behind all the devastation that poverty brings, there is something else at work. There is a spiritual condition that undermines our best efforts to change our own circumstances. Friends, we cannot, we must not separate poverty from the gospel. So the first point I want to make to you today is, if you are asked to help the poor, always, always make sure that the answer includes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second thing we need to know about poverty, poverty has a very long history. In the opening chapters of the Bible, we are shown a world in which everything is perfect. One that God declares very good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 is one great verse to look at. The world that God created in Genesis is a world where poverty could not, did not exist. It was a perfect world. When Adam and Eve rebelled against their Creator, they set in motion events that would turn God's good and perfect creation into one where poverty was now the default setting of the entire world. Think of it. Before the curse, before sin, before Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they lived in a perfect world. The word poverty didn't even exist. It wasn't in their vocabulary. After they sinned, there was a curse that came on humankind and the earth itself. And from that point on, poverty became the default setting of the entire world, even to this day. I don't have time to unpack that for you today, but in a couple months I'm going to be publishing a book that will explain that in great detail. So if you're interested to go deeper in theology, check it out. Because of one man's sin, all of humanity came under a curse. It is this curse that is at the heart of poverty today. And here's where I get a lot of opposition, even from Christians. We don't like to think about sin being associated with poverty, because often what happens is we connect the dots, and we connect them wrongly. We go, and I was challenged one time openly in a class I was teaching. Do you mean that child's poor because they stole a cookie or sinned? No. You missed the point. The point is the sin that was brought on mankind by the fall of man. That's what we're talking about. Whether it's war and corruption, droughts or earthquakes, poor crop yields or total economic collapse, it all can be traced back to the Garden of Eden and the fall of man. It is from this curse that Jesus came to set people free. Now, this doesn't mean that God promises that all those who come to faith in Jesus will be healthy and wealthy and drive BMWs and whatever. That's not what it's saying. But it does mean that if poverty at its most basic level is a spiritual issue, that is, the result of sin's presence in the world, then there must be a spiritual and eternal solution to poverty in order to be effective. There is a day, we know this in Scripture, there is a day when poverty will fully and finally end. A day when Jesus will return and bring his new creation. Revelation 21 tells us about that. This is the hope that we all look forward to. This is the hope that has transformed the lives of hundreds of thousands of children in Compassion's ministry. The hope of one day being with Jesus Christ. Because of the gospel, back to Maria in Guatemala, in that city dump. Because of the gospel, Maria no longer fights with the rodents on the city dump for her daily food. She was registered in a compassion program in a local church near the dump. There she received love and care from the Christ followers. But most importantly, there she received the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Maria is now an adult young woman with a master's degree in business and serving her country and her church, and is a follower of Jesus Christ. Because of the gospel, Harriet in Uganda is not selling her young body on the streets of Kampala, where many of her friends are now doing. Because of the gospel, Jose in Mexico did not abandon his wife and children and run off and leave them destitute, like so many men do in the developing world. The gospel changed his life and changed the way he thinks and takes on responsibility. Because of the gospel, a man named Arnel, in one of the largest slums in Manila, Philippines, no longer terrorizes that slum as a drug dealer and an alcoholic, and as a womanizer, and as just a mean, mean person. Arnel now pastors the very church his three little boys were registered in as a compassion program. At that church is where he heard for the first time about Jesus Christ. He is now pastoring that church, and he is now terrorizing that huge, massive slum with the gospel. Where people used to run and hide when they saw him coming down the alley, now they run and hide because they're going to get preached at. That's what the gospel does. All of these people I alluded to, all of these people were given many, many good things, food, clothing, all these things from different aid organizations. But none of their lives were changed until they met Jesus Christ. No other single strategy is more powerful to change people than the gospel. That's point number two. Are you with me? Point number three, the last one, yay. Poor children have more than empty, they are more than empty vessels to be filled. Here's the problem with many of our poverty alleviation programs. We look at children specifically and the poor generally. We look at them as being empty vessels, and so we try to raise money and fill those vessels up with food, with clothing, with medicine, with education, with all kinds of things. And those are good things. Those are not bad things. It's not bad for you parents to feed your children and to clothe them and to care for them. They're not bad things to do. But done in isolation, have no eternal impact or benefit. Caring for the physical needs of children in poverty is absolutely necessary. And it's something that in James chapter 2, we are commanded to do. To neglect this command would be to deny that God's love lives inside of us as Christians. But the poor, and in fact our, as Canadians, our greatest need is not met through good deeds. Our greatest needs are not met through things. How many churches across Canada give out food, give out vouchers, give out clothing, and give out all kinds of good things? If you don't give out the gospel with those good things, you are not impacting eternity for the very people you are called to help. It's only the gospel that offers forgiveness of our sins and reconciliation with our Creator. The gospel deals with the root of poverty, from which all other poverty flows. If we are serious about our mission, if you as a church are serious about mission, if we are serious about releasing children from poverty, then we must talk about Jesus. We can't keep that secret. Most organizations who work with the poor use the very same strategy. You look at most of the sponsorship agencies that you know around Canada, most of the humanitarian agencies that work with the poor use the same textbook. They follow the similar principles. They give the poor things, food, medicine, education. These are all good, as I've said, but they are not enough. Compassion, to my knowledge, and I've been in this ministry for 35 years, so I think I pretty well know the landscape. Compassion is one of the few, and if not the only, child sponsorship organization in the world who has discipleship as our core strategy. Our core strategy is not community development. Our core strategy is not relief. Nothing wrong with those things. But compassion fills a very unique place in the kingdom of God. Our core strategy is discipleship. Preaching the gospel and making disciples. That's what we're all about. At Compassion, we don't look at children as vessels to be filled, but sparks to be ignited. We don't want to simply release children from poverty. We want to release them for a purpose. You see the difference? It's not just a play on words. It's not just semantics. We don't just want children in the developing world to not be hungry and not be sick. We want them to go further than that. We want them to thrive and be fulfilled, because the Word of God teaches us that that's what He wants for every child, for your child, for your grandchildren. He doesn't want you as parents and me as parents just to feed and educate and take care of our children. He wants our children to thrive and to glorify God in their lives as they grow. That's what we want to do. We want to release children for a purpose, not just from a lack. Releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name to thrive as children of God. And our key strategy to do that is the gospel. We are Christ-centered. We are child-focused. And we are church-based. Christ-centered, everything Compassion does anywhere in the world is bringing Christ first, central to everything we do. Every decision we make is because of our understanding of what would Jesus do in that situation. We are child-focused. We don't just work with communities in a broad sense. We work with individual children. Today, as of today, we have just under 2 million children. We know every one of those children by name. There is a Christian adult assigned to mentor every one of those children, because every one of those children are getting Compassion's program in a local church, some 7,000 churches around the developing world. Children on a roll call doesn't mean change. There are lots of organizations, there are lots of good-intentioned, even ministries sometimes, that can list you a list of children that they're helping. But unless you have a daily and regular encounter with those children, just having their names on a roll call doesn't mean they are going to be transformed. Children need intentional, holistic development. And our goal is life change. The Bible talks about it as transformation. For 65 years, Compassion has built its ministry on biblical foundations. Integrity, as your pastor alluded to earlier, integrity is key to being accountable for the resources God has entrusted to us. We have regular audits all around the world, even to those projects in the heart of Africa or Haiti or South and Central America. Every project is audited every year. Besides that, we have sponsors like you that go and visit their children. I call them mini audits. In fact, those sponsors usually ask way more questions than auditors do. Why? Because it's their money. Do you know that last year worldwide, Compassion had over 9,000 sponsors visit their children around the world? That's 9,000 mini audits. And I like to tell my staff, and we've never been sued once. No one has ever come back and inquired, where's my money going? You know what the biggest response we get is? How do you do so much with that little bit of money? It's unbelievable. And you know what the answer is? It's the local church. Partnering with the local church provides the resources, the people, to make this ministry happen. You see, here's the secret. Don't tell anybody. But it's not all about Compassion. It's about the local church. Because, you know, that's God's strategy. God has one plan to reach the world. Do you know God's plan is not parachurch ministries? It's not great and good organizations. God's plan to reach the world is the local church. He doesn't even have plan B. If the local church messes it up, he has nowhere to go. That's his design, his plan, and his great risk. So what we have done at Compassion is we look at that and we say, where would God place his eggs? What basket would he put his eggs in? Pretty easy answer, the local church. So we decided many years ago as a ministry, that's where we're putting all of our resources, the local church. a compassion sponsor, you that are already sponsoring, some of you I know are, a compassion sponsor is more than just a donor sending in $41 a month. A compassion sponsor, uniquely in this organization we call Compassion, you are actually a missionary to a child. Because you're not just filling that child, that vessel, with food and all this stuff. You are actually bringing that child to Christ. So your prayers as a sponsor are just as important as your money. The letters you write are not just, hi, it's raining or snowing in Canada. The letters are strategic because you are mentoring, you are discipling that child. So you are speaking into that child's life. A compassion sponsor is a missionary to that child and their entire family, seeking to be followers of Christ who glorify God. Do you recognize that statement? I got it off your website, the church website. I love it. I love it. I love it so much, I put it into my message notes. Seeking, you don't mind if I quote that other places? I think it's so cool. Seeking to be followers of Christ who glorify God. Can you think of a better way to glorify God than to bring others to God? Isn't that why he sent his son? To bring others to him? And we have the privilege of answering God's desire by bringing those around us in our communities, our families, and around the world. So here's my question to you today. Hearing briefly what Compassion's ministry is about, will you join with God's strategy to release children from poverty in Jesus' name today? Will you say yes to God's call to the least of these? Will you do more than just give foreign aid to the poor? Remember what I stated earlier? And this last PowerPoint slide will put that in front of you just to burn it in your mind. If we are serious about our mission, if we are serious about releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name, then we must talk about Jesus. We can't be stealth Christians, and we can't do stealth missions. We must be bold. And in being bold, we're going to take a lot of flack. We do. You know, one of the things about Compassion is we don't take any government funding anywhere. You know why? Because the moment you bring government funding in, you bring all these strings attached. You're learning that now just by watching the news. And strings attached from governments always prevent you from sharing the gospel. They love to help you feed children. They love to help you educate children and do health care. But as soon as you smell of the gospel, then they're all over you. So for that reason, Compassion relies only on Christians in Canada to sponsor children. We don't even advertise or market to non-Christians. We only want Christians to be sponsors because only a Christian can be a missionary. Right? It makes sense, right? Only a Christian can pray for that child and care for that child and mentor and disciple that child. So we're all done here now. Just a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to go out to the foyer, and there's a table. We've got three lovely ladies that are dedicated their time free today to come serve us. We've got children there from around the world that are waiting for you to link with them and be a missionary and a caregiver to them. We've got children as young as 1 year old, and we've got some that are on the other end, almost finished the program, 18, 19. Let me suggest, if you're an older person and you don't want to commit yourself to a long-term relationship, select one of these older children. They'll be finished the program in a year or two, and you'll be able to help them over the line. If you're a younger family, younger individual, you might want to select a younger child that you can track with. And you can also use that relationship to help teach your own children and your grandchildren how to care and how to love for others. I don't want this to sound like a commercial. It's not that. It's just that when you understand the gospel and poverty, you need also to understand a way forward. How do you do that? So how do you do these three things that I brought to your attention today? There are ways, many ways. You can do that through your local church, and I hope you're doing that. But internationally and globally, I offer to you the Ministry of Compassion Canada as a way for you to release children from poverty in Jesus' name so that they can thrive as God created and intended them to do. God bless you. Looking forward to meeting you afterwards in the foyer. Thank you.